You know, there is nothing compared to what God has for us. Today we've sang about His glory and about His awesomeness. Today I'm going to teach you the secret to happiness, the secret to prosperity. You don't have to go buy a book. You don't have to buy a tape series. Invest in anything. You know, I can just imagine out of where Darlene was at when she wrote this song. You know, knowing her story, I don't know exactly what had overcome her that to the point of, okay, it's financial pressure. Anybody been there? You know what I'm talking about. Out of that, folks, listen, you need to understand. She broke, sat down at a piano, and poured her heart out to the Lord. And I got to tell you right now, because of this song, the financial pressure was relieved. Not only, but God, see, you need to understand, the pressure was relieved before the money ever showed up. She poured her heart out to God and started praising Him. And in that, God made a way and delivered her. Today, like I told you, I'm going to tell you the secret to happiness and prosperity and joy. So hold on to everything you've been holding on to, except the one thing I'm going to tell you to let go of. Okay? Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You and we are truly grateful, Lord, for all Your many blessings in our life today. Father, we thank You for Your love and for Your Son and for Your unending mercies. Father, we present to You today our tithe and offering. Lord, it represents the blood, the sweat, and sometimes even tears of our labor. We present it to You as holy, and I ask, Father, that You bless it and receive it. And in turn, Lord, Your promises will stand true in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed. If for some reason my mic lets go, let me know. Well, you will be glad to know I do have a new microphone on order. a couple years ago, I even taped this little connection back on because it would just let go from time to time. And after last week, we started doing the math, and this microphone is 20 years old. And I think I paid $25 for it off of another ministry. But I was with the guy the day he bought it, and he paid $500 for it 20 years ago. So it's gotten its use. Well, as I said, I'm going to tell you today the secret to happiness and prosperity. And I want you to understand today, folks, there's no mystery. God's really not a mysterious God. He said, I'll use the simple things to confound the wise. I would so much rather be simple than somebody who thinks I know it all. Because it's the simpletons He revealed His Son to. Do you understand that? The people that the world looked down upon and said, you're not worthy. You're a fisherman, for crying out loud. You're a doctor. You're a tax collector. You're just a terrorist. This is who Jesus was revealed to as the Son of God. I would so much rather be in those shoes than the shoes that are saying, hey man, you know, I understand. I can speak 10 different languages. I understand it all. I can read this, and this. I understand quantum physics, which, listen, a couple years ago, I decided, you know what? I'm going to try some calculus. See if I, hang that. I got online. I'm like, forget it. I am not a mathematician. Jason, my hat is off to you, man. He understands this stuff. Me, one and one equals two. I'm good. But what I do understand, though, is how good of a God I serve. You know, over the years, I've taught many messages on this one subject. And it's only been really been recently that God has began to show me things. You know, because, you know, as I've come out and said here in the last couple years, listen, this ministry is not about making you rich. It's about bringing you into God's righteousness. The prosperity follows the righteousness. It doesn't follow a message that says, gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy. That's not what I will ever teach. And I have never taught that. We must have God's righteousness or it's all for naught. And one of the greatest parts, and one of the greatest men I love to look in the Bible because he was so full of flaws. And for any of us to think that we're not flawed, we are sorely mistaken. You know, I thought I was wrong once, but I was just mistaken. But I love to look at David. Out of all the men in the Bible, he's the only one, men and women, he's the only one who said, this man has my heart. He's after me. He's after my heart. He wasn't after the things that God could give him. He killed a giant, let's be serious. He was there. They said what was going to happen to the man who killed the giant. David said, what was that again? I get the king's daughter, tax exemption, and wealth. What more could a teenager ask for? Right? Money worries are done. Don't have to go cruising the mall for chicks anymore. I'm good. But when he got out there, he did not fight. He did not stand against that giant as a teenager who had a bride on the brain. He stood out there and said, how dare you defy the armies of the Most High God? How dare you? Something came over him. What originally triggered him to move was one thing. When he got out there, there was a different man standing there. Now, whether Goliath was 9 feet tall or 20 feet tall, it does not matter. You put somebody who's about 5'6" up against somebody who's 9 foot tall, he's a dwarf. How many of you have ever watched the Princess Bride? If you haven't, you've got to see it. I'm telling you, as a man, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. I remember Bob Montgomery was telling Doc Barclay he had to see this. Now, Doc was a recon Marine, so you need to understand. He's like, are you serious? A movie called The Princess Bride? You want me to go see this movie called The Princess Bride? And he's like, no, seriously, Doc, you got to see this movie. And you do. You've got to see it. Well, anyhow, where I was going with all that is in it is Andre the Giant. And I forget, is he shy of 8 foot, I think? 300, almost four, probably about 400 pounds. They've shown a can of beer. He did like to drink. Okay. They showed a can of beer in his hand. Now here's my hand. Here's what the can looked like in his. It was huge. And in the movie, at one point, he puts three people and hangs them on him. Now, obviously, this part was fake. He climbs hand over hand up a 1,000-foot cliff. But they still had to hang those three full-size human beings on him. And they looked so tiny. Their heads, you know, their heads were this big, normal. His was huge. So imagine David up against this massive man who is a combat vet. And David's got the gall to say, no, the birds will not feed off of my flesh. I will take your head from your shoulders today. That's some gall. That's why I like David. David understood some things about God and the things that moved God. One thing I've learned that does not move God, first off, is complaining. Complaining does not move God in your favor. As a matter of fact, complaining puts God against you. You want the example? The whole book of Exodus. Thank you. Genesis, the end of Genesis. You can read how God stood against those who complained. We haven't got any foods. There weren't enough graves in Egypt. Well, God brought us out here to die. God didn't bring you this far to leave you behind. He didn't bring you to here just so you could just die. Complaining stops God from moving in your life. So if you're a complainer, recognize it, own it, and this disown it. Well, I don't complain. I will lay $100 on it, you will complain. I catch myself complaining. I've told on myself a few times. But it's only when we quit complaining that God can move on our behalf and bless us. I shared with you last week that, you know, I was taking her tire that I now had to replace to the only store that I could find in Central Ohio that had that make and model, because I'm tired of putting oddball tires on my cars after they've got a new set of tires. It's not pride. It was just, I don't have to live like a pauper anymore. I serve the King of Kings, and I had the money to replace the tire. So I'm on my way to get the tire, and the little thing on my truck comes on and says, you have a low tire. Usually they're reading 35 PSI. This one says 28. A couple more miles down the road, it reads 27. I'm like, okay, I'm losing air. And I get there, and sure enough, man, there's a screw right in the top of the tire. You know, I caught myself. It's not worth complaining. I'll just have it fixed. If I had let that tire, that stupid little screw in that tire, ruin my day. My vacation started that day. That's when I said, I'm done. I'm done. I'm walking away from everything. My vacation begins. And I finally figured out that for me to unwind and let everything go, I've actually got to start my vacation a few days earlier before I go anywhere so that my mind can release. Because last year when I took vacation, I didn't do that, and my mind did not release for 3 days. I was still thinking about what's got to be done here at the church, what I got to do here, what I got to do there, what's got to be done here, what am I going to do about Jesse and Justin and, you know, school and all that stuff. My mind just would not. Is anybody else whose mind likes to run overactive like that? You just lay down at night and you're like, oh, God, would the voices just stop? I like white noise. You know, I can sleep through the TV, man. There's certain shows, I turn them on just because I know I can sleep through them. Now, so I've learned to quit complaining. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm an expert at it. But you gotta be kidding me. Watch it when you go there. Watch that you do not let that fester into something and boil over. Oh, I knew this would happen. Well, if you really knew it happened, why did you go ahead and go that direction? But you're there now. Don't complain about it. You need God more than ever on your side to move and deliver you out of this situation. So one of the things that I have learned is to be grateful. To be thankful. David. We can read about, I'm going to tell you right now, just even this morning, I knew the scriptures I was going to go to. And even as I was refreshing myself in the scriptures and just getting my mind wrapped about what God wanted me to share today, he started showing me other scriptures of David. You know, we get in the Bible, we say, well, God talked about money more than he talked about this, or he talked about hell more than he did this. I'll tell you right now, the Bible is chock full of being thankful. I would dare say the Bible talks about being thankful more than anything. There's so many things today that we listen to what somebody says because, well, they've got the doctor before their name. Just because you got a doctor don't mean you know what you're talking about. Remember, doctors are still the ones that are saying there is no God, that the universe just went. When the truth about, even I was watching I love watching this Ancient Alien stuff on the History Channel, okay? And I know some of it's a bunch of bunk. But when you start realizing, okay, two societies on the opposite sides of the world shared similar things. Okay, I don't know how it got there, but hey, it's there. We got cave paintings in Southwest America, in our country, that are things that blow their mind. And by the way, they are very closely tied to ancient Hebrew. How on earth did that get there? There's some theories. But anyhow, but then these people start talking about mathematics, and that's what I'm talking about. Higher echelon mathematics is just insane. But they were saying the other day that these higher echelon mathematics are a language that is universal. It transcends all. We serve a great and glorious God who created an awesome world. And it doesn't stop with planet Earth. It just goes beyond. I've said all that to get back to just because somebody got up there and said that this is what God says. Check it for yourself, please. You have a Bible. Read it. I beg you. Get in your Bible. There are concordances if you don't understand things. There are things that will help you, because you will get in there, and even if you think you understand it all, you will not understand it all. Because there were parts of the Bible that were removed because even the people back then who were preaching couldn't understand it. And these are parts of your Bible that are referenced in your Bible. I own some of them. And I will tell you, if you haven't got hold of some of the simpler stuff, do not try to go down that road. Because you talk about scrambling your brains, they can do it. I just got to know why. I just got to know. No, you don't. Take it that you don't know it yet and wait until a revelation comes of it. So, anyhow, let's open our Bibles this morning to Psalm 100. Verse 4. David said, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his court with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." Now this is talking about entering the presence of a king. See, everybody, we think that when we come in here to worship God, we're entering into the whole. We take it away. Listen, a king does not dwell in a temple. Can I get this through to you? We put God in a temple. And so therefore they had to go there. God never wanted a temple. He wanted his place to be amongst us. But when David understood God, he understood God as a king. So he said, enter his gates. When you enter the gates of the king, things started changing. When you open those gates, the glory of that king. And then when you got into the inner court where the king's throne was at, listen, that's where everything happened. That's why we use the word court. Law was made, decrees were made. When the king said something, it happened. The king could not take back his own word. Do you understand this? That is why Xerxes, when he had already made a decree that Haman could go and have all the Jews hung, when he realized what had happened, he could not go back and take his word back. God is no different. But however, thank God, he is an all-knowing and all-seeing God, and he knows the truth. Unlike Xerxes, he did not make a mistake. So Xerxes had to make another decree that the Jews could defend themselves. And defend they did. And for his trickery, Haman was hung on his own gallows. But David said, enter his gates with thanksgiving. When you come before God, come with thanksgiving in your hearts. Come with it speaking. When you come into this church and you want to come and praise God, you need to come forth thanking him. That is why we praise him. It's not, Listen, I need you to understand something. All this, it helps us get into it. So we need to come in with a thankful heart and say, oh, God doesn't do anything for me. Listen, you need to find God's mercy in everything and thank Him for it. I mean, I paid a lot for that tire for her car. It was a Michelin, if that helps you understand anything. I was like, praise God, I love Michelin tires. I hate buying them. They are really good tires. They're just really expensive. I learned to start thanking God. He provided. He provided for me and my family. And then you come into His courts with praise. Praise is right on the same level as thanksgiving. That's what it is. We are now thanking God and praising Him for what He's done, for what He is doing in our lives and our families' lives, what He's doing in this earth, what He's doing in this country. You got to trust that God knows what He's doing. The Bible says that no leader is appointed without God letting it happen, good or bad. You need to understand that. And then you have to understand that God knows better than you do. Well, why would God let Adolf Hitler? Why would God do that? Why? Israel would have never became a nation if Adolf Hitler had not done what he did. You can think I'm crazy. We would have never, the Jews would have never gone back to Israel. The world would have never looked down and saw and said, the Jews need their country back. It never would have happened. And there was a prophecy that it had to happen. So now, I'll tell you an interesting thing about the whole numbers thingy. Israel became a nation in 1948. Abraham was born 1948 years before Christ. I think it's pretty cool. I did the whole timeline thing on Israel's timeline, not the Gregorian monks. I did it on Israel's timeline. So we come to God. Look, twice he says in this one passage, he says to be thankful. We're to come and thank God for things. And when we're thankful, folks, listen, we need to learn to start being content. God started speaking to me this week because I was like, God, you know, okay. I thought it was a good message last week, even though it didn't get recorded. But God, what's this week? And he starts going on. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I just taught on being grateful not too long ago and thankful. But I'll be honest with you, that's a message we can't hear enough. Everybody wants to hear blessing. If you do this, you're going to be, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, amongst all things, be thankful. Phil and I were just talking about this morning, about children. We don't realize it. That when we do as our parents have instructed us, blessing from them flows into our life. But when we're rebellious, the blessing doesn't flow. Meaning we got disciplined. Okay? And it's only in that when we get the revelation that, okay, I really messed up here and I need to readjust. Then we come in and the blessing comes right back. God's not somebody that says, you man, you messed up last week. Thank God he doesn't do that. Because I wouldn't be here in church today. Now, go to Psalm 20, or as you were, Psalm 95. Go there. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Come into God's presence with thanksgiving in your heart. It don't mean with a turkey leg and a bowl of mashed potatoes. It means come before God really thanking Him. I'm thankful to be living in this country. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. No, you're not. You're not thankful for that stuff. If that only one day a year can you thank God for it. Daily. Thanksgiving is an attitude of gratitude. It's something you develop. It's something you change. If you're not somebody who's normally like it, change. Okay? You are not a fingerprint. You can be changed. So when we come before God, we're supposed to come into His presence with thanksgiving. But you know what we come to God with? God, you're mean. Why did you let that guy be killed? Why did you let that plane go down? Why? Listen, we don't understand everything, and you need to understand one thing. People sin, and when people have sinned, they released into the world the nature of sin. God does not cause every storm that comes at us. That happened because of sin. The world got away from God's way of things. We wanted natural. That's what we wanted, instead of the supernatural. We wanted God. We wanted a king. Thank you very much. I'm tired of people that think they're my king. Jesus is my king. That's all there is to this. People want to rule over other people. And Jesus said, first off, in the church, that should not be. But yet, that is exactly what we see. We should not be wanting to rule over one another. I certainly don't want to be your king. I don't want to rule over you. I don't want to be responsible for you. But God has made me slightly responsible. Slightly. You are still responsible for you. I need you to understand that amongst all things. You can sit in here, well, pastor didn't teach me that. Have I not told you got your own Bible? Open it and read it. Because you will get the revelation you need. Listen, my son, he's a lot like me. But then there's areas he's not like me. And he needs to get into the Word and understand God his way. I had to go to the military to understand God that way. But then when I got out, because here's what happens when you get in the military and you, oh, this is God, and you go, bam, it's regimented. Okay, it is, by the book, it is cut. It's just ruthless. And then God said, okay, that's the law. You need to understand the New Testament way of how we perceive God. Because here's something you need to understand. Prior to the New Testament, because even David said, bow down and worship the Lord. Okay, that's great for subjects. What does the New Testament place us as? Heirs and joint heirs with the king. We're not equal, but neither are we subjects. Jesus said, no longer do I call you servants. I call you friends. Now, any movie you watch where there's a king in the midst, especially if they're really trying to be accurate historically, everybody does show reverence to the king. But only those who had a relationship with the king could come to the king and speak freely to the king. If you remember in the book of Esther, when Esther went into the throne room of Xerxes, his previous wife had done that. And he had her stripped of title and clothes and thrown out. Esther came in and everybody's like, oh man, here we go again. Except Xerxes extended his scepter to her and received her. That's what God does. We can walk boldly, as Paul said, boldly into the throne room without worrying about, okay, I'm about to lose my head. So when we are to come to God thankfully, let's go flip over to Psalm 23. Or you can read it up here. I'm sorry. I got out of order. I did not put Psalm 23, but I'm going to share with you a little quick about. We read the Psalm 23rd Psalm at every funeral because it mentions death. This psalm has nothing to do with death. Absolutely, positively, nothing to do with death. I am going to go there real quick. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me into the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Find something sad about this. There's absolutely nothing sad about the 23rd Psalm. It is a psalm of thanksgiving. Do you get that? God is my provider. I will not worry. I'm not going to lack. He brings me to the cool, still waters. Still waters run deep. They're deeper. They have coolness running. It's kind of, anybody ever, probably not many of you have, I have drank from creeks. Might explain a little bit to some of you. But it's easier to drink out of a pool of water that is moving slow than it is a babbling brook that's because you get water up your nose and you get a lot of air. Whereas at least if the water's smooth and slow, you can drink from it. Okay? Green pasture fields. They're healthy. They've got nutrients in them. God takes us to these things. David is actually giving God thanks. And even in the times when people, and you know, I don't remember exactly what was happening in David's life at this point, but he had friends, he had families trying to kill him. His own family, I mean, was trying to kill him. And he's thanking God that even though I'm in this situation where people are trying to come and kill me, you are there with me. You will protect me. You will guide me. See, we forget all that. I forget exactly how it was. I believe the rod was for a weapon. It was a shorter stick. It was to hit wolves or anything. The staff, however, see, Moses had a staff. And it was to guide. It was to lead you and guide you with. You could always see it. Now, later on in life, people would put a little crook in them so that you could reach over and pull the sheep by the head and guide it. Or if you were really a rebellious sheep, whack across the back with it. That'll get your attention. So God, His Word, by the way, the staff represents His Word. It leads us, it guides us, and when necessary, it corrects us. But David is by no means whining here. He is giving God thanks and the praise for all these things. He recognized it. And David, being a poet, a little artsy, he made it into a poem. Actually, the book of Psalm, I want to say, in Hebrew, it's Tehillim, is what it's known as. These is what they sang. They would get up in the synagogue and they would sing these to God. It's what they did. Now let's go to Philippians 4 and chapter 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, folks, anxious, anxiety. If you're dealing with anxiety, I need you to understand this right now. If you're dealing with anxiety, that's called worry. Matthew 6:25, Jesus said, "Do not worry." If this had been written in the book of Exodus, it would say, "Thou shalt not worry." That is a commandment. And if it's a commandment, guess what it becomes? A sin. But we like to worry. Oh, I'm so worried about my children. Do you realize there's nothing you can do? Not one thing can you do. You can pray. All the worrying Job did, he made sacrifices daily for each one of his children in the event they might sin. There's a good chance your children are going to sin. Really good chance. All this worrying he did, and yet they still perished. They died. Wasn't nothing they could do. We worry about our children. We worry about this. We worry about that. We make up things to worry about. Oh, I'm just so worried. You know, the other day when I took her car in to have the oil changed and the tires rotated, if you haven't figured it out, it's actually cheaper to take it someplace now to have your oil changed than it is to do it yourself. And I can take it to the dealer cheaper than I can do it myself. That is ridiculous. But hey, they get paid and I don't have to get dirty or burned or anything else. But when I took the car in, I said, I want the tires rotated. And I said, by the way, there's a nail in the one tire I want you to fix. That's when they said, well, it is into the sidewall and we cannot fix those. And so they put it on the front. And he said, you know, you may, he says, you, they couldn't get me a tire before we left for vacation. And I said, I'll find a tire. And he said, well, you know, don't go too far on it or drive too fast. He said that tire could blow out. And I looked at him and I said, dude, if I'd have been worried about it, I'd have started 2 months ago when we got the nail. He's like, oh. See, people will try to create worry in you to sell you a tire. I wasn't worried about it. Well, Pastor, you should have been. It was a nail. It's a nail in a steel-belted radial. Listen. I'm not one of these guys. I don't drive a Buick Lucerne like I drive a Ferrari. Okay, I'm not trying to go around corners at 120 miles an hour. It is not that kind of car, so I'm not doing that. Matter of fact, it's her car, so I don't drive it very often. Which she has. I quit worrying about things, see? I used to worry. That's why I drove all the time. I was taught to worry about my wife's driving. I'm sorry, but that's the way it was. My dad still to this day will not ride with my mom. And she is actually the better driver. And I guess as a kid, we grew up with her driving because he was either at work or somewhere else, and we just got used to it. When we got in the car with him, we'd always get, you know, we weren't Catholic, but boy, we were saying our prayers and doing everything we could. It's like, Lord, if it helps. Because out of the two of them, he's wrecked a whole lot more cars than she has. But anyhow, no, I love him. He yelled at me one time, and I think I still had a permit, about my braking, and then Mom said, that's exactly how you stop. I do not. Oh, yes, you do. But anyhow, we can't worry. David was thanking God for all this. He wasn't worried about what his children were doing. He wasn't worried about what his closest advisors were scheming up. He was thanking God. You've got my back. I'm in your presence, and I thank you that you take care of me. And in spite of what all that's going to happen, he even began to bring this up. He began to say, you will set a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In other words, they're standing along the wall watching as I sit down to this feast. You will exalt and you will get the glory and you will let me bask in it. Now, when we get anxious and we start worrying about things, what we're telling God is, you can't take care of me. You can't take care of this situation. You know, so many people today, oh, I got to save in the event of... Listen, saving is a good thing. Do not get me wrong. I just got to do this, got to do this, got to. Listen, cash is worthless today. Do you understand? If the market tanks like it did with the Great Depression in the 20s, if something like that happens now, your paper money, your electronic money is worth nothing. Back then, it was backed by gold. We went off the gold standard. When we went off the gold standard, our money is backed by a promise of a politician. How far will you take that? You ain't going to the bank with it, I can promise you. I think the other day proved it. We cannot trust in the systems of men. We have to trust in our God, that He will take care of us, that He will take care of our children. And if we can't get to that point, folks, we are telling God, God, I like the concept of you, but I don't want to trust you. You can't take care of my children. Oh, for crying out loud, how can He? But one thing, here, when you start thanking God, when you start getting into an attitude of gratitude, and that means you are thankful. I do. Anytime I pray, I thank God for the day. I thank Him that He's blessing the work of my hands to prosper. I thank Him for the things that's going to happen. And I've started making sure that I do that. And even when something goes wrong, I'm trying to learn not to get bent out of shape. Well, like the other day, I just had my driveway chip and sealed. I got tired of my driveway ending up in the road. Because I live on a hill with a big flat area that catches water and rushes. I just had it all chip and sealed. About 8 hours later, we got the worst rain we've had yet and washed my driveway out into the road. I had already wrote a big check, paid for it, and it was almost 8:30 in the morning, and I got up and I came in there, and I'd heard the rain, and I was like, Lord, please let my driveway be in place. Please, and got out there, and it wasn't there. I didn't get mad at God. It was probably already wiped out before I even heard the rain. I walked in there, got on my phone, called the guys, said, hey, we got a problem. My driveway is in the road. Next call I made was to the bank, and I canceled the check. Well, that wasn't smart. You know, that's dishonest, Pastor. No, it's not, because they did not do what they told me they were going to do, and I knew it. And I called them on it when they got back. Because the other brother showed up, and I said, why didn't you roll the yard driveway? You did not roll it before or after. And your contract states you were going to roll it. And you have to roll a driveway to chip and seal. Rest of it, a lot of it held in place really fine. Just where they did not roll the stuff they put in to fill the holes. I had several people told me this is what they should have done right there. No problem. I still got a big chunk of it, and I'm going to fix it myself because I haven't heard from them. No big deal. I'm not worried about it. You understand? I'm not getting bent out of shape because God's going to bless me in this. But let me show you how God starts blessing us. We went on vacation that week. A glorious week, folks. I got to tell you, I can't tell you how beautiful. I'm going to just build this all up even more. It was beautiful. Listen. Lake water, that color, and it's not dyed. This is its natural color. It looked like the Caribbean. 80 degrees was the hottest it got. I got a little bit of sun on my lips. They're blistered. We had a glorious, beautiful, wonderful time. We had a cottage, a block and a half off of Lake Michigan. A whole house in a town whose industry now is tourism. The house rents for $800 a week. Cost us nothing. God blessed us. We have friends who he'd been going up there since he was little. And they finally bought a house a couple years ago. And they said, because you're our friends, you can have it for nothing. I mean, folks, I need you to understand, it's not because we've been real close over the last 20 years. She grew up with the wife, and they were good friends. I've met him 3 times, I think. We hit it off. He's a fisherman, and he's even more fishing and hunting than I am. But I got to tell you something. Because they blessed us, we were thankful. They blessed us. We took them to dinner the other night. Just say thank you. And as we're sitting there, they began telling us, you know, we're wanting to move, and so, you know, we found a house. We put all of our, we made our checklist. This is what it's got to have. We have not found any house so far that matches us, except last night. We found the house that fills every one of our check marks. It went on that morning, went on the market that morning, I think it was. That morning, he said, we were the seventh couple to look at the place. And we were the second one to put an offer in. And we put an offer in, and we found out this morning that we didn't get it. There were three offers that came in on the house, and we did not get the offer. And they're just, you know, like, we'll just keep, you know, they were both a little disappointed they didn't get the house. And Angela just said, you know, it's not the end of the world. Contracts don't mean a thing all the time. Folks, it wasn't even 5 minutes after she said that. His phone rang. He silenced it, sent a message back. Can't talk right now. I'll talk to you later. Well, got a new text message back. It was the realtor. You need to understand when you're thankful and when you will bless those out of what you can, God can move on you. And I was joking when I said this, but when I started seeing it, it was the truth. Anyhow, the message came back was, there was a wrench in the other contract, the house is yours. They didn't know what to do with themselves. He's like, man, I just told everybody we didn't get it. Da 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 da. He said, no, I gotta go tell people we got it. It was just a matter of hours that he just got through telling everybody at work. It's a beautiful house. To tell you, for all you bow hunters, there's a 20-yard bow range in the basement. You don't get much better than that. You will want to put a red light at the top of the steps to let people know if the light's on, don't come down. You might be my next victim. But God moved on their behalf. And I'm going to tell you, God moved on their behalf because they blessed us. Okay? And I jokingly said, it happened because we had dinner together tonight. Well, it happened because they blessed us. They were thankful. They were so grateful to be able to do that. Do you understand? They helped pay for the cottage with the rentals. And where they're at, well, I guess they technically get the rent year-round because there's snowmobilers that go up there and ride. But I'm going to be honest with you. That part, you know, I don't want to be in Michigan in the winter. All I'd ever been to was Detroit, and there's nothing about Detroit that made me like Michigan. Okay? Nothing. Roads are awful. Your houses on top of each other. I mean, I didn't know when I left Detroit and drove into Dearborn. My buddy went up there and he's like, here, we're going to take you someplace you're going to love. And I'm like, where the heck am I? He says, we're in Dearborn. I said, oh, yeah? He says, yeah. He says, see that building? I said, yeah. That's where Mustangs are made. I'm like, woohoo, great. I couldn't have told you we left Dearborn or Detroit. But anyhow, up it was just gorgeous. But it's cold. It's cold. I don't like the cold. But God blessed them. We started thanking God. Instead of complaining, God, we can't take a vacation this year. You know, and she was joking, and that's how this all started out. How many of y'all saw the little meme that's Forrest Gump sitting on a park bench and says, all these people posting pictures of their vacations, and I went to Walmart. We did go to Walmart a couple times. And her friend saw that, and she said, friend, all you have to do is ask for the keys. And I saw that, and I told Angela, said, ask for the keys. Swallow our pride and ask for the keys, doggone it. God has blessed us. God blessed us last year with a camper. The family that loaned us the camper, God blessed with the house they wanted. Are you seeing something? When you start blessing other people, not just us, but other people out of what you have, God can move. And you thank God for what you got. These people have been grateful for being able to do that. Many times people have blessed us, been able to do things, and God has moved on their behalf on things. This is how we come to prosperity. It's not trying to create a book or a system of getting blessings. You are blessed to be a blessing. When we bless others, God blesses us in turn. So always keep that in mind. I told you I was going to show you the prosperity. Being thankful for what you have. Living content with what you have. When you come where, Lord, I'm thankful. You know what? I thank you for my house. I am content. I had tried to sell that house in Mount Gilead after the second year we lived there. Because I'm like, okay, she grew up on the farm in the middle of 100 acres. Everywhere I grew up, it was farmland around us. We didn't own the house, but we lived with no close neighbors. We were used to running and playing and just having fun. And I'm like, okay, my boys, we have less than a quarter of an acre. Takes me about 15 minutes to mow the yard. And I like to mow. Not with a push mower necessarily, but I like to mow. And I kept trying. And as I'm fixing it up, I'm seeing what people cut corners on, and I'm growling and grumbling. And she's always on me. And finally, it got to the point where I said, you know what, God, I'm content. I thank you for this house. I'm going to continue fixing it up, making things more feasible. It's kind of hard to live in a really tiny kitchen. You know, when you put your refrigerator in and it takes up 95% of your floor space, you got a tiny kitchen. I drew it all up, was going to make the cabinets and all this, and then one day I just opened a paper and saw a log cabin for sale. Had 11 acres with it. I was like, cha-ching, we went and saw it. We got in contract. It got us out. Thought we had our house sold. That fell through. And we're like, okay, now what? But we kept thanking God. And then it turns out the log cabin wasn't our home, dream home. It was this run-down little farmhouse that nobody really wanted because it needed a lot of work. You couldn't see the barn. We didn't know. There were doors that were hidden because they were so grown over with bittersweet vines and poison ivy hung off the trees like a jungle. Real great for somebody who even thinks of poison ivy and she gets it. Yeah, she's like, don't make me think of it. And that's where God moved us. And we sit out there and it's like, Lord, we thank you. This was our dream home. She wanted cottonwood trees. I wanted sycamores. The cottonwood trees lined the lane. The sycamores lined the creek on the other side at the neighbor's house. And I get to look at it all by being grateful and thankful for what I had. And I'm still thankful for what I've got. And when you get to that point, God can open the doors for you to move in. You have to get to a content point. Okay, God. Contentment doesn't mean you're not going to go for more. Do you understand that? Contentment means I'm thankful for what I've got, and when it's time to move on for more, I'll be thankful then too. But people who are, I just got to have $1 million, got to have $1 million, they are not happy. They're the most miserable people on the planet trying to make $1 million. Come on. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to be thankful. And according to Philippians, he said, and the peace of God will overtake you. This peace that passes all understanding. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Well, Pastor, you know, if I buy that house, how will I do that? Figure it out. Trust God. He's not going to leave you hanging. He will take care of you. Well, I don't know if I can afford the car. Can you afford a taxi? Start thanking God for what you got. And then watch what He takes you to and what He does in your life. And you'll start finding true peace, true prosperity. You will have things. And things won't have you. Just like the other day, when I watched that driveway washing down the road, I didn't lose my peace. They were expecting me to blow up, I know. They were expecting me to walk out and just go nuclear. I just walked out. I was even in the rain still, and I'm out there walking around the driveway looking. What are you going to do? I've got some things lined up. One is a 22-foot grate to catch the water and run it in a ditch. I can't tell you how many gallons of water run. It looks like a river when it's running down that. Just all the water from the barn, the field, the yard. Just loves my driveway. It's bad when you got a four-wheel drive truck and it's rough. So, not worried about it. I'll fix it and move on. I've had some people build roads, give me some ideas on what will hold, what will work. I'm going to go that route. Be thankful. I'm thankful because the top of it looks really nice. All right, let's stand. God will care for you, folks. Don't think that he doesn't care about you. Yeah, your life changes, okay? Everything changes. That's what you need to understand. Just grab hold of it right now. Nothing is staying the same. As I got a haircut yesterday, I realized that my hairline had changed again. I'm like, boy, you can stop cutting at any point. She was just doing what I told her, though. I'm like, yeah, that's really getting back there. And I've already told her, once if this becomes an island, it's all coming off. Because unfortunately, I got a cousin who's got the same hairline, and his is gone. Then I got another cousin. He's been bald since he was about 23. So I'm praising God, 47, and I still got it. Thank God for what you've got. Be content. And I promise you, you will find joy and peace in being content with what you've got. Because Joshua pointed out something to me the other day, it was about a month or so ago. We were talking about things, and we were talking about a four-wheeler. He said, Dad, you just need to get you one of the big four-wheel drive ones. And I said, you know how much them things cost? I said, I ain't going out and getting that. And Joshua says, Dad, what are you worried about? You're driving a brand new truck. Didn't God do that? Yeah, I guess he did. I'm not worried about it. I'm content with the little one I got. The boys just cannot jump the barn bank with it anymore. That's actually a good thing, but the front end might fall off if they do it again. And I don't like jumping the barn bank, but boy, do I like the mud. I love getting it muddy. But it's not got a whole lot of power. I need power. Anyhow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful, and we thank you, Father, for the things that you give us in our lives. Father, we thank you for your word and how it guides us. Just as David was pointing out about the staff, you lead us and you guide us. You protect us as well, Father. So, Father, I thank you that you're giving us all this revelation of being thankful every day for the things we have, to be thankful for the things that you're going to do, that even in bad situations, that you will work it to the good. Father, I praise you now that you're giving us all that revelation, that you're giving us all the contentment to hold on and to be satisfied. And now, Lord, I pray that you bless these people today. Lord, I know as many of them, they're walking, things are changing in their lives, Father, from one degree to the next. Lord, I pray that you bless them. You move in their lives, Father. And as each and every step, as they overcome, you take them to the next level. You move mightily on their behalf. You open the doors and you set the captives free. In Jesus' name, amen.